Welcome to our church family celebration Sunday. Something slightly different, and we have Christine to thank for this initiative. So hopefully it will be a day of celebration. It's also Father's Day, as probably some of you will know. And those two things are running together in our theme. So our call to worship are some words from John, both from his gospel and his letters. And they're loosely entitled Father and Sons. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So let grace, mercy, and peace be with us in truth and love from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, Son of the Father. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. The one-of-a-kind God expression, Jesus the Messiah, who exists at the very heart of the Father, has made him as plain as day. To all who receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, God gave the right to become children of God. Jesus said, "Because you've gone out on a limb, committed yourself to love and trust in me, believing I came directly from the Father loves you directly. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We are called children of God. That's who we really are. Friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up?" We're going to spend some time in praise to God. We're going to sing three songs sort of back to back. Some of them Ian's going to accompany, some of them are going to be to the CD backings, and there's going to be a prayer in the middle. I invite you to stand to sing, but if three songs and a prayer is too much, sit down whenever you feel like it, stand up whenever you feel like it. God won't mind.
Thank you.
Our prayer is a responsive prayer, and it's based around the words of the Lord's Prayer. So if you'd like to sit for this bit, there will be some responses on the line. So we're going kind of through the Lord's Prayer, but underlining it in a different way. Our Heavenly Father, like a mother and a father, you love us unconditionally. We worship your name. You are holy and worthy of all our praise. Your kingdom come. Your realm of love, peace, and wisdom be real, here and now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help your children in the way of obedience, that creation will be restored. Give us today our daily bread. Grant food for our bodies, your word for our spirits, and your Son's body and blood for our growth in grace. Forgive our wrongdoings. Your generous grace is more than we deserve, as we forgive those who have wronged us. Help us to reflect your mercy and to love our enemies. Do not bring us to a time of trial, and protect those we love. Rescue us from evil. Help us to fight for justice and good in the world. Amen. And we're going to continue in praise as we sing our next song, You Are My Anchor, which reminds us of all God is to us. And the chorus has got a lovely line at the end about resting in the Father's embrace, where we find our security.
Thank you.
In the New Testament, the word pleasure for God is linked to his relationship with us, his children, three times. It says in Luke, "For the Father's good pleasure, the truth of Jesus is revealed to his little children." In Ephesians, it says, "Our adoption as God's sons through Jesus Christ is in accordance with God's pleasure and will." So I do suspect, but don't quote me on it, that God does have a wide smile. If you were here a fortnight ago, we listened to a song by the songwriter Pete James, For Thy Kingdom Come. He'd written the version of the Lord's Prayer that we listened to as our Lord's Prayer. And he must have been having a good year last year, because I'm going to play you another song of his called Thank You for Fathering Me. And we're going to use this as our prayer of thanksgiving. So when the words come up, we don't need to sing them. Just enjoy Pete James singing them. But make them your prayer as you hear them. And then after that, we will be singing. Today is also Trinity Sunday, so we're going to stand and sing our next song. The words might be unfamiliar to you, but the tune is very familiar, which is an opportunity for us to say thank you to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit for all they do and have done for us. So we're going to stand and sing our next song, Father, You Love Me. going to watch a very, very short video clip from a very, very well-known film. It was made in 1970, so the picture and sound quality isn't what you're used to. Look at it carefully. If you know the story, remember the setting. And then we're going to pray afterwards. Here's your introduction. Bobby arrives at Oakworth Station, and a train pulls in. Let us pray. Some words by Michaela Youngson. It gets to me every time I watch the Railway Children. That adolescent girl runs along the platform and shouts, "Daddy, my daddy," crying out with love and longing for the brave and wise man returning from unjust imprisonment. But for us, it's the other way round. Heavenly Father, you are brave and wise, but you have never been away. You are always standing waiting for us, a little way along the platform, a patient, loving father waiting for his child. It is us who have been imprisoned, far away from family, and justly so. When we cannot see you clearly, it is because of the clouds of steam and smoke that surround us, the darkness of our disobedience, the fog of our faithlessness, the smuts of our sins. We long to see you again, to call out with all our hearts, "Daddy, my daddy," to recognise the limitless love in your eyes, to run headlong into your open arms, to be held there, to be lifted up, to be embraced and to be kissed, a lost child returning to their father. And because of your great love and the obedience of your Son Jesus, on a day like this, on any day, we can stop, turn and say sorry. We can see the way made clear. We can know your gracious forgiveness. We can be free of all guilt and fear. We can cry out in joy and at peace. And we can run back where we truly belong, into your welcoming presence. A child and father together again, reunited. Amen. And we're going to sing our affirmation of forgiveness in the words of our next song. "I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by a true and living God." And now Vicky is going to bring us our reading.
Morning all. The reading today comes from Romans 8:14 to 17. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the word we've just heard. Now, help us by the work of your Spirit to build us as your family, the family of God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So, today, amongst other things, is Trinity Sunday. And it's also the day we've chosen to celebrate our life as a church family at KMC, as we're not one of those churches that's had a regular church anniversary. And if you think of Trinity and family, at first there's an obvious connection, because when you think of God as Father and God as Son, you've got family language, haven't you, in those titles. But what about the Holy Spirit, who's coming upon all God's people? We celebrated last Sunday at Pentecost. Does the Holy Spirit have any part to play in the divine family and the family of God's people? Well, I'm hoping some of you in your minds just answered with the word yes. Otherwise I'm sunk. Because not only do we need to remember, as I was saying last Sunday, that the Holy Spirit is personal, we also see here in Paul's writings, and by the way, we've carried that reading over from last week, that the Holy Spirit has specific work to do in establishing the followers of Jesus as the family of God. And I'm going to share three ways in which that happens. The first is that the family of God is on a journey. A journey. The reading begins with these words: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So, to be in the family of God is to be led in a certain direction on a journey. It's to go a particular way. It's like the children of Israel effectively becoming the people of God when they were led out of Egypt to the wilderness and eventually to the promised land. The journey was a sign of them becoming and being the family of God. And so it is with us today. We are led away from slavery, not slavery in Egypt like Israel, but slavery to sin. And we are led not by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, but by the Holy Spirit to go in the direction the Spirit leads us, because that's the way the family's going. The Father and the Son are leading the way, and the Holy Spirit is calling and enabling us to follow on that journey. So to be part of the family of God entails a willingness to let the Holy Spirit lead us in the direction that God is taking. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and empower us to respond to the words of Jesus that he said to the first disciples, and he still says to us, follow me. If you're going to follow, you're going to go on a journey, yeah? There's no family of God without a commitment to be led in the ways of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is right, therefore, to expect us to be different. Of course, we shall fail. We shall need forgiveness. We shall need to dust ourselves down before picking ourselves up, or perhaps God picking us up and continuing down the road with Jesus. But although we fail, we can't use the excuse that you sometimes see on car stickers and t-shirts, which says Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Well, we aren't perfect, we are forgiven, but from that point we're led on a journey. There is so much grace from God when we fail, but our faith is more than forgiveness. It's more than being set free from slavery. It's about going on this journey with God. You know, when you see a young child holding out their hand for mum or dad to lead them along, well, there's the childlike faith to which we're called on this journey. But have you also seen the young child having a tantrum when a parent is saying, no, come this way? And that's what we're like when we resist the leading of the Spirit as God's children. And I know that on the times when I choose a path that I know is not the way of Jesus, I end up distant from God and distant from his family too. But the more we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in the ways of Jesus, the closer we become to God and to God's family. Because the family of God is constantly on its travels. It doesn't settle anywhere permanently this side of heaven. We haven't arrived. We're still on a journey. So, will we let the Holy Spirit lead us on that long expedition as the children of God's family? If we are to celebrate being family at KMC, will we commit to being led together by the Spirit? So firstly, the journey. Secondly, the Spirit brings us into the family by adoption. Adoption. The Spirit you received, says Paul, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by the way, Paul wasn't being sexist when he said sonship. It was just the fact that he's speaking to Roman culture where it was only the sons who inherited. So he had to speak that way for the culture. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, he says. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So again, think of that Exodus picture, not slaves anymore. And this time, instead of the fear that goes with slavery, we're given the warmth and the intimacy of the Father's love. We were not his children, but the Holy Spirit takes us home to the Father where we are adopted as his children. A few years ago, I remember telling you a story about how a girl I went out with a few times some years before I met Debbie told me once over a meal how she was adopted. And when I looked rather concerned, she said to me, you don't need to worry. I like the fact I was adopted. She said, because it means I know I was wanted. And I thought of that again this last week. I took a funeral, and it was someone who died in Purford, so I got the call as the Byfleet minister. And the chap who died had been adopted as an infant, and his widow and his two sons both spoke about how warmly Dad had related to having been adopted as a child. And he said the same things, that knowing he was adopted gave him this sense of knowing that he was wanted and that he was loved. And I thought that was beautiful. And what a lovely thing for them to remember about him. Don't you think? So, but, you know, however many years some of us have been coming to church, some of us still remain uncertain of God's love for us. We could go and we could swipe one of those flowers that we've brought this morning and sit with the petals doing the old thing. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. And we kind of do it about God. You ever do that? You ever oscillate on whether you think God loves you or not? The fact that we are adopted, though, into God's family is something that helps to stem that uncertainty about God's personal love for us. Being adopted means that God the Father says to us, I want you and I love you, just as this chap who died in Purford had experienced from his adoptive parents. The Father says, I want you, I choose you, I love you, I'm committed to you. And the Holy Spirit speaks within us and says, you are a child of God. Not only have you decided to walk in the ways of Jesus, the Father has chosen you in love to be his child. And so it's because of that that we get, by the Spirit, to call God Abba Father. And you've heard many preachers talk about that down the years, haven't you? And how Abba was, roughly speaking, the Aramaic word for daddy. Now, that might be a little oversimplified, and yes, I do like to complicate things, but what it really was a very tender and personal term. And the only reason I say I wouldn't say daddy is because actually it was a tender and personal term for a father that both children and adults used in Jewish culture. The loving Jew never got out of calling their father Abba. Likewise us, we're never too long in the tooth to call our Heavenly Father Abba, or at least speak to him in the tender and personal language that we would use. It's not something only for the new Christian. It's an ongoing privilege for all of us in God's family. You know, I never had a special name for my father. I just called him Dad. But, you know, he and I still had a close relationship. We could sit and talk about the important things of life, like photography, cricket, rugby, football, and the lesser important things like politics. And we could always just pick up the conversation. And it's the same in the family of God, only better. My sister, on the other hand, did have an affectionate name for our dad. She always called him Pops. And you know, I would never have used that. I would have cringed. But I never saw my dad embarrassed by her pet name for him, because he knew what it meant. It was her tender, personal word for him. It stood for that warm and close love they had. And we never need to be worried about God the Father being embarrassed or offended by our genuine expressions of intimate love on our part towards him, because he has made us for close family love. I wonder whether we can show similar close love as the family of God at KMC, united as siblings of our beloved Father. So we have the journey that we're taking on because we follow Jesus in the family of God. We have this adoption into this close, tender relationship with our Father, where we're so wanted. And lastly, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. This is where Paul, where the reading ends. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, all analogies break down at one point, and this one particularly, because normally with an inheritance, the one who's left the inheritance is dead. And that's not the situation here. God's not dead. But Paul's point is that we, the adopted children of God, share in the inheritance of Jesus. We share in the inheritance of Jesus, who is not the adopted Son of God, but the eternally begotten Son of the Father. We share in the sonship of Jesus, having shared in his prayers. Think of how we adapted the Lord's Prayer earlier, which began, "Our Father." Think of how Jesus also called God Abba, Father, and particularly in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we've shared his prayer, as a sign of sharing in our sonship with him, so we also share in the inheritance of Jesus. But what's that? Well, if Jesus is going to be Lord of all the world, ruling over it with sovereign and saving love, then we're going to share that rule. We are called into bringing redemption to the world that longs for it. Our inheritance as the adopted children of God is to share in the rule and the redemption of the world that belongs to Jesus. Jesus foretold it in his earthly ministry, that there will be those ruling and reigning with him. It's kind of the logical ending to what starts all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, where the human race is made in the image of God and given charge of creation on God's behalf. It's something that's pictured at the other end of the Bible in Revelation, where there are 24 elders sitting around the throne and who've got crowns. You see, this is the family business, and we're called into part of it. 2 generations ago, the Faulkners had a family business, but the Depression of the 30s destroyed it. We had chains of gentlemen's outfitters on the concourses of mainline train stations. That was the family business. Tell you more another time. But our family business as the family of God is to share in the redemption and rule of the world, the kingdom over which Jesus reigns. And so whatever we anticipate in the future, which may really seem rather strange, you know, ruling in heaven and all that, we have something to get on with now in announcing that Jesus is Lord of the world, in proclaiming the redemption he offers. That's what we do with the inheritance now. And that, I guess, is why Paul also says that suffering goes with it. Because, of course, not everybody's going to like that message. And we know what sometimes happens to Christians when we proclaim the reign of Jesus. There's opposition. And, of course, in many parts of the world, it's a lot more than the teasing we often get. And lives are at stake. And just as Jesus suffered on his way to glory, so to his family. But of course, that isn't the final thing, is it? Because we're resurrection people. And so the way of suffering becomes the way to glory. As I said, so many other branches of the Christian family know this much more deeply than we do. They are really walking the path of suffering, because they proclaim the good news of the kingdom in a hostile environment. And they live in faith and hope that their suffering will be the entrance to glory for them, and it will. And we look forward with them to the great family reunion in God's great kingdom, in his new creation. And there we'll come into our inheritance without hindrance, where all things will be made new, where nothing anymore will be spoiled by sin or suffering. And that's when we'll be able to say we've arrived. And we will have arrived there, having been led by the Spirit in the ways of Jesus, and being formed together into the family of God. We shall have been bound together as adopted children by the work of the Spirit. And in the security of the Father's great love, we shall reign with Christ. And this is the family of God. This is the vision. And now is the time for us to live as such a family, following Jesus together in the power of the Spirit is our calling at KMC, sharing the security of the Father's love that's brought us together is the calling of KMC, sharing in the announcement of Christ's reign. Our inheritance is also the calling of KMC. This is how we live as the family of God. Amen. So Ian's going to lead us in prayer.
Without thought, destroy it and damage it. We damage it with our unthinking use of resources. We damage it in our unthinking and hateful treatment of other people. The news on the television and in the newspapers tells us about Iran, about Hong Kong, about Syria, about poverty worldwide. Lord, help us to put our trust back in you, that we may be part of your power shown on earth in making that perfection once more.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Ian. We're going to take up the offering. And great God of all giving, receive our gifts and build us together in what we give in this way and in others as your family and the signs of your love in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Right, we're going to close by singing Teach Me to Dance to the Beat of Your Heart.
Some words from scripture and some words from a song. The word of the Master God to us: I'll be a father to you, you'll be sons and daughters to me. The words of songwriter Paul Oakley to God: You have loved us with such perfect love, you have fathered us with a tender touch. Your faithfulness surrounds our souls, your mercy lifts our heads. How could we repay all you have done? And the words of Jesus to us: You only have one Father, and he's in heaven. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. For the person who obeys my heavenly Father's will is my brother and my sister. And Paul's words to bless the church in Rome, and so to bless the church in Naphill: May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that we all get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir not only with our voices, but with our lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So we pray as we go. Father, faithful Father, father us, for no one else could be the perfect Father to us. And so we go in the embrace of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And we just say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.